Today on Straight Talk Africa, a look at the developing political situation in Uganda. To what extent is the political playing field leveled in the democratically challenged East African country? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali. Today, it's a discussion on the current democratic challenges in Uganda. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni says external players should refrain from interfering in the country's affairs, days after Ugandan top musician turned lawmaker Bob Wine called for international action against Uganda following his alleged torture by security forces. My colleague Paul Ndiho has more.
Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni on Sunday responded to Bobby Wine's allegations of torture and warned against foreign interference in the country's politics.
It is important that external players refrain from interfering in the internal affairs of other countries. Interfering in the internal affairs of other countries is morally and practically wrong. There has been so much talk about the torture by the security forces of people like Honorables Bobby Wine and Zaki. What if those allegations turn out to be false? How will the accusers, local and foreign, rectify the injustice they have done to the security forces?
Last week, the U.S. lawyer for opposition lawmaker Robert Kyagulanyi, a musician well known by his stage name Bobby Wine, called on the United States to stop funding Uganda's military as a punitive measure against what Kyagulanyi said was torture by authorities in his country.
I was brutally tortured by some armed soldiers from the SFC. Beaten, brutalized, and abused, and later locked up in the military barracks. Charges were later dropped, and I was taken to a civil prison. And finally, I was bailed up.
My skin keeps peeling. This blister that I received, all this hand has been peeling. I got injections that I don't know about, and I spent quite a long time on cuffs, shackled both hands and legs.
The Ugandan lawmaker is in the United States undergoing treatment for injuries he suffered at the hands of Ugandan security forces while in detention following his arrest on August 14. However, Ugandan officials have steadfastly denied that Bobby Wine was tortured while in custody. Authorities have charged Wine with treason for allegedly stoning President Yoweri Museveni's motorcade. Robert Amsterdam, Bobby Wine's lawyer, told those in attendance at the National Press Club news conference that he was putting the Ugandan government on notice.
And we want the American taxpayer to know that the American taxpayer is funding this. The military equipment we are supplying to Uganda is being used in a war of terror against Uganda's citizens.
Many of his followers said they feel excluded and alienated by the nation's current political establishment. However, in a statement released to the media, Ofono Opondo, a Uganda government spokesperson and Uganda Media Center executive director, rejected Amsterdam's claim against the Ugandan government. I quote, "If Bobby Wine was tortured or injected with unknown substances, as being claimed, he should quickly return to Uganda to raise those issues before the court, where the trial will be, and they shall transparently be investigated and the culprits punished." He added that we strongly reject Mr. Amsterdam's reference of the Uganda government as a criminal enterprise because Uganda is governed following our democratic constitution, laws and rules. So far, the U.S. has not commented on Mr. Wine's comments or those of President Yoweri Museveni. In December 2017, the Constitution was amended to remove the presidential age limit of 75 years, meaning President Museveni can run again for president in 2021. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Joining us now are two distinguished guests, Robert Sentamu Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine, a Ugandan member of parliament and a mega artist, and Mar Sebuja Katende, the Ugandan ambassador to the United States, potential and extraordinary. I have to say, gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
It's a pleasure, Shaka, and I also salute you, fellow Ugandans back home and fellow citizens of the world across the globe.
You're most welcome.
Thank you very much, Dr. Shaka, for inviting us, and greetings to the viewers.
I must congratulate you, Ambassador Katende, that you are the first Ugandan ambassador to come to this show since perhaps 2001, the last ambassador on this show being former Ugandan ambassador to the United States, Edith Sempara Bafakulera.
I apologize on their behalf.
You're most welcome, and I certainly look forward to doing business with you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you immediately, Bobby. You've been on this show before, and it is a pleasure, of course, having you for the second time, except, of course, this time it seems to be under very different circumstances. You came on a clutch, on clutches. Why?
Well, I came on clutches because I was in deep pain. I'm thankful to God and indeed to the doctors back home and here in the United States that have been treated well, and I'm graduating day by day. Right now, I'm only using a walking stick. And being the strong man that I am, I hope to soon be on my 2 feet.
What happened to you?
Well, it shouldn't be news to you, Shaka, and neither is it news to anybody out there that I was brutally tortured.
You'll be surprised. I'm sure there are millions in the audience who probably have not heard about that.
Yeah, it is not something that I should be proud of. I was brutally tortured by a section of the Ugandan military called the Special Forces Command, and this is the section of the military that is charged with guarding the president. I was beaten, kept on handcuffs. A lot of despicable things were done to me, but I'm here. And I'm still alive.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
From what I have actually read and what I have seen, the Ugandan government says, on the contrary, you were never tortured. Those are their words, not mine.
Well, it's such a shame. But again, it's not new for the Ugandan government to do something and disown it. I mean, I was not tortured alone. I was tortured. I was arrested brutally along with the Honorable Francis Zake, who is still in intensive care in India. I was tortured along with a lady called Asiro. By the time I left Uganda, she was still passing blood. I was tortured along a gentleman called Atiku Shaban, who sustained a permanently broken back, and 33 other people, including 4 members of parliament. The Human Rights Commission, Uganda Human Rights Commission visited Machindi Barracks where I was being incarcerated and indeed wrote a report about the condition that I was in when they found me.
Bobby Wine, no journalist perhaps would be worth his salt, frankly, if he didn't ask you the question, why?
That is a question that probably should have gone to the government of Uganda.
We have the Ugandan ambassador here. He will.
Why would a Ugandan be brutally arrested? Why would a Ugandan be tortured? Why would a Ugandan citizen be framed with possession of guns only later for the claims to be dropped by the government? I also still wonder why, now that we are with the ambassador of Uganda, maybe he will explain to us why so many Ugandans are being tortured, are wrongfully arrested, and indeed killed. Maybe he's in better position to answer why.
My brother, Ambassador Katende, I know that you were not in Uganda. You were here with me, but you obviously represent the government of Uganda.
Exactly.
How do you respond to this?
Thank you very much, Dr. Shaka.
And without the clinic, of course, because you might mislead the patients to come to me.
I am glad to be here with the Honorable here. Actually, as ambassador, I took the responsibility to look him up because I saw him coming on clutches. I even went to the hospital to check whether, because as ambassador, I'm responsible for the welfare of all people who visit the U.S. and those who reside in it. But I was told that he had been examined and discharged. So I said, well, mm-hmm. which means he's okay. But of course, since then, I saw him with two clutches. He's now with this walking stick, meaning that things are improving, as he says. My only problem has been the purpose of his mission. And I take it that it is double. Is he on medical, but also for political activities,
but before
which
you,
is
you
not
go,
a crime.
Before you go any further, crime. Mr. Ambassador,
yes.
Do you have any doubt whatsoever that you are probably looking at somebody who may in fact have been tortured?
Okay, let me first state this, Dr. Sally. First, there has been a lot of information circulating on the media that there is a lot of crisis in Uganda. I want to assure all our viewers that there is no crisis in Uganda. The country is stable, and only what we are experiencing are isolated acts of criminality, like what happened after the elections in Arua. Secondly, Uganda remains committed to the tenets of democracy, rule of law, and respect for human rights. On the issues which the Honorable here has alluded to, they are before the court, and the court will pronounce itself on them. And here we are guided by the rule of sub judice. But let me say this. Uganda does not condone torture. And whatever issues the Honorable has and any others of his association, any issues they have will be pronounced on in court. Uganda has functioning institutions, and I'm sure the Honorable will agree with me that he's benefiting from some of them. He's now here on bail. He will continue to observe the due process. On the alleged torture, as a principle, the torture was one of the very reasons the government in Uganda came into being because of past activities by the governments of the day. Secondly, Uganda is a signatory to the United Nations Convention Against Torture. In fact, it is the NRM government that ratified this charter in 1987. Thirdly, we have a Uganda Human Rights Commission. The chairman of the Human Rights Commission visited the Honorable, and he will produce a report. The commission is an independent institution. It is not influenced by government, and we will look forward to its report.
Unfortunately, Mr. Ambassador, time happens not to be our best ally.
Yes, yes. But otherwise, I was going to tell you that UPDF Board of Survey has instituted an inquiry. The Uganda Police Force has also instituted an inquiry. Any security forces that might have committed commissions will face the consequences.
We'll give you an opportunity later to talk a little bit more about that. Before pausing for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and don't forget to share it with your friends. We are on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Bobby Wine, and we'll air some of your segments later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
Could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
You're welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you, Bobby Wine. You heard Ambassador Katende essentially really saying that as far as the government is concerned, you were not tortured. I have also, in fact, read that a one colleague of yours in the artistic world called Bebe Cool, Moses Sully, son of veteran politician Vidandi Sully, has actually said for the record that whatever wounds or symptoms that you allege are on you are fake. Now, I've done my homework a bit, and I was reading about torture. Listen to the definition of this. The action or practice of inflicting severe pain on someone as a punishment or to force them to do or say something or for the pleasure of the person inflicting the pain. It can also, in terms of synonym, it can also be referred to abuse as abuse, maltreatment, persecution, or sadism. And according to the Oxford Dictionary, which is very accessible to a lot of Ugandans who went to school and the Commonwealth, it says which is probably more accessible, of course, to Ugandans and the Commonwealth. It says torture is defined as the action or practice of inflicting severe pain on someone as a punishment or in order to force them to do or say something. Is that something that actually happened to you?
Well, first of all, I will not address anybody else who I'm not next to. But I'm so glad the ambassador is here with me. You see, I hold Ambassador Mulkatende in very high regard. I've read about him. I've seen him since I was growing up, and I think he's a very intelligent person. However, like Norbert Mao once noted, that if you're paid to be a fool, then your intelligence ceases to matter. I'm not saying our ambassador is paid to be a fool. He could probably be paid to lie or to be ignorant or maybe to be blind. I'd like to bring this to his attention. I live in Uganda. I've grown up in Uganda, in ordinary Uganda. So for him to be on this platform and say that Uganda is not in a crisis, Uganda is at peace, is really disappointing. I mean, it is misrepresenting the Ugandans, because Uganda is not just a piece of land or trees or lakes. Uganda is the people of Uganda. In a Uganda where one cannot even drive a car with window screens down because of fear of being attacked by miserable, desperate young people, that is not a Uganda which is not at crisis. But however, coming back to the torture, Mr. Ambassador, you are next to me, and I'm sure right now you can see my skin still peeling off out of the beatings. I'm sure you can look at my nose and see the broken bone. I'm sure you can look at my eye and see the scars. So this is not hypothetical talk. This is realistic things. I will understand the ambassador because maybe he lives in the comfort of Washington. So it is okay for him to get communications from high-profile people in Uganda, especially those that hope to paint a rosy picture about our country. But I'm here to speak for the millions upon millions of Ugandans, especially the young people of Uganda, who consist over 85%, and I'm here to represent their reality. Now, he said, yeah, there are just, limited cases of criminality here and there. I would like to assert that you are right in that area. However, the criminality is not being perpetrated by the ordinary citizens. It is actually carried out by the armed forces. I'm sure you've been watching on the screens. You've seen the military police and the soldiers and the police itself brutalizing innocent citizens. I mean, if that's not criminality, I wonder what it is. You said court will pronounce itself about a few things. It has pronounced itself. I was brutally arrested from my hotel room, and the first claim that the government brought was that they found two machine guns in my room and rounds of ammunition. 10 days later, after torturing me, after mistreating me in military incarceration, which was illegal, I must say, the government, out of the blue, dropped the charges. And was it yesterday when I heard that the guns have gone missing? So I don't know what the ambassador has to say about that. Uganda does not condone torture. Yes, because Uganda is Ugandans, according to me. However, it's in the same Uganda that I would like to tell you that many people have been publicly tortured. Shaka, we are talking about torture today. Maybe the world has rose up to, has risen its voice now, because maybe a celebrity was tortured. I'm humbled to see that my case has attracted a world appeal. But I want you to know that the Muslim clerics, we've seen them, and the ambassador has seen them coming to court with bans. You've seen many people who have been, whose manhoods have been crushed. You have seen the mayor of Kamwenge, who was beaten and his hands, he was even rotting. All that is torture. And if it's not torture, I wonder what you call it. Oh, yes, Uganda, you said Uganda has functioning institutions. But I wonder what kind of institutions you are talking about. In Uganda, power resides within the presidency. That is where all decisions are made. That is why even the police officers will arrest you, and then afterwards they ask you why they are arresting you. When I was brutally arrested at the airport, even after court cleared me to go outside Uganda for specialized treatment, the police arrested me. And when I asked them where they're taking me, they didn't know where they were taking me. They were waiting for orders. So that is what I call total institutional death. Until we have our institutions back and they are functioning the way they were functioning, you know, maybe we can say they are live institutions. You talked about the Uganda Human Rights Commission and said they are going to come up with a report. I have news for you, Mr. Ambassador. That report came out and it clearly narrated the state in which they found me. So I request that you do your homework and find out the real facts that are going on in Uganda.
Mr. Ambassador, how do you respond to that? In fact, there are some critics who have actually come up and said the Ugandan government, as it's constituted, actually does have what they call a trust deficit. How do you react to that?
First of all, Mr. Shaka, let me make a correction. I did not sit on this platform to say he was not tortured. I didn't say that. What I said is that...
I take your apology.
What I said is that whatever happened to him is being investigated.
By who?
I told you UPDF is investigating, Uganda Police Force.
The people that, in fact, he says are responsible for torturing him?
Just wait. The matter is in the court. Look, torture is a technical matter. The Honorable Bobi Wine cannot come here and say, look at my nose, broken. How do I am not a doctor. All that will have to surface in the courts of law. Now, you said that the report has come out. Fine. That's okay. The report, whatever it is, it will be respected. I'm not saying that if it doesn't say this or that, it will not come out. Then the other thing you are talking about is on the criminality. You see, what is happening in Uganda is the opposition politicians, those who have another view, those who have failed to convince Ugandans to give them enough votes to go into government, they think that the best option is to cause instability and emerge from that instability. That is the problem. But I want to assure you that the government is fully in control, and anybody who disturbs the peace, the law is there. And we must have trust in our institutions. Honorable Chagulanyi, you are here because court said you are given bail. You have to respect that. You will go through the due process. It is there. There is no vacuum. And the pronouncement of the courts will be respected. You talked of Muslim clerics. Yes, there have been so many...
cases.
No. So many cases. Like any other world, you have people who commit crime. You have people who get arrested. You have got people who appear in courts. These cases are in courts. Many of the investigations are going on, and the assurance is that the institutions are doing their job. There are challenges, yes. You have these criminal activities continuing, but something is being done about them. They are not condoned by government, and I assure you, they will be tamed. There is a time in 1987 when the country was rocked with grenades. A lot of grenades were killing people in the cities. And people thought that was the end of Uganda. But government was able to nab those criminals, and that issue was resolved. This too is a bubble. It will go. The most important thing is the people of Uganda have the voice. The Honorable Kyagulanyi says he talks on behalf of Ugandans. That has to be demonstrated. The people you talk on behalf of are people of Kyadondo East, because there is evidence they elected you. So is President Museveni. Over 60% elected him. He can.
Are you sure?
Yes, of course. That's why you are here. Otherwise, you would have resigned from parliament if you did not respect the democratic experiment we have.
Mr. Ambassador, unfortunately, there is no democracy in Studio 47. If the producer tells me to go, I have to go. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a conversation in a moment, so please don't go away, because we'll be right back with you.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
A reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, and to watch us live on your mobile device, just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a discussion on the African Capacity Building Foundation. The African Union's Specialized Agency for Capacity Development has coordinated programs worth $700 million across 48 countries since 1991. We'll talk about the foundation's steps to develop the skills required for the continent's economic transformation on the next Straight Talk Africa.
And today we are talking about the current democratic challenges in Uganda. Our distinguished guests are Robert Sentamu Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine, a Ugandan Member of Parliament and musical artist, and Maru Sebuja Katende, the Ugandan Ambassador to the United States, plenipotential and extraordinary. I have to say, gentlemen, that once again I'm profoundly honored, exceedingly humbled, to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you, Mr. Ambassador. You talked about very interesting things about the government responsibilities. You talked about how Ugandan president has a mandate because he was elected and all kind of stuff. What about the increasing call for the issue of trust deficit? Here is a president who in 2001, correct me if I am wrong, he basically appealed to the Ugandan voters to give him an opportunity and support him to serve a second and last constitutional allowable term so that he could accomplish three very important things. One was, for example, to professionalize the army. The other was to secure a regional economic market. And the last was to choose a successor. This was 2001. We are in 2018. And you know what has happened since then? In 2005, you had, in a sense, what you would call the constitutional political shifting of the goalposts. Term limits were essentially thrown out. Last year, if I remember correctly, the age cap on the constitution was removed, in effect, leaving an individual to establish a presidential monarch. This is a man who came in 1986, was very much loved by probably not only Ugandans, probably the entire continent, because he said the problem of Africa, or Uganda for that matter, was not about the African people or the Ugandan people. It was the African leaders who overstay in power. How do you react to that?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Shaka. First of all, Uganda is governed by a constitution. In fact, the constitution is the supreme law of the land. And that constitution has provisions. It has provisions governing all facets of socioeconomic endeavor in the country, including sections that provide for its amendment. Now, the referendum, the change of term limits was subjected to the people of Uganda.
To the members of parliament?
The members of parliament are representatives of the people of Uganda. But
who received, each of those people who you are talking about who voted for the change of term limit,
yes,
who received each of them, from what I saw, about $3,000.
No.
And the president himself, in fact, said the money was for quote-unquote facilitation.
Dr.
Someone
Shaka,
might say bribe.
Dr. Shaka, you have no evidence. The evidence we have...
Well, I'm a member of parliament. I can give evidence.
Wait, I am also a land person. Look, what is true is that the parliament varied that provision on behalf of the people. There were sections of people in the parliament that did not support it. That's good enough. We practice democracy.
You practice democracy?
Yes.
The president, in
That's
fact, is on record saying, I brought you democracy.
Wait.
What type of democracy are we talking about?
We have a parliament that has all shades of political interests. We have the Honorable Chagulanyi. We have FDC. We have UPC. We have NRM. We have DP. Recently, we even added on JEMA. So we have a parliament, and it has to be respected. If not, then the Honorable Chagulanyi, when he lives here, should resign. You understand? Now,
Bobi Wine? If in fact you believe that there is no democracy in Uganda, then why are you in fact participating in parliament?
Thank you, Shaka. First and foremost, like I said at the beginning of the show, I will quote Norbert Mao for the second time when he said that if you are paid to be stupid, your intelligence seems to matter. Even the days of Idi Amin, we had very intelligent people, very knowledgeable people, paid to do very, very pathetic things. I'm very, very disappointed to see a learned person, a person that I hold in high regard. I'm very sure what he speaks now, he regrets when he leaves here. I'm very sure he does not represent you. I mean, you are talking about legality. But just yesterday, a gentleman called Eddie Mutwe had been kidnapped by the soldiers. And for so long, when the soldiers were denying his whereabouts, a court order was issued, but it was not respected.
How do you know they were Ugandan soldiers?
Well, they were Ugandan soldiers because they are the one who presented him at the end of the day. Our soldiers, the ones we pay.
Not rebels.
Not rebels. Ugandan soldiers.
Not Bayai.
Not Bayai. I get so disturbed when I hear elderly leaders talking to us and quoting 1987, 1960, 1940. That is not relevant. It's not in our reality. We have a reality, and we are the majority of Ugandans. And you cannot continue working on the periphery. You've got to look at issues the way they are. You just quoted him very well. You told him that the president of Uganda said in 2001 that he wanted one more time to professionalize the army. But indeed, he wanted to personalize the army. We probably misheard him. And yes, since then, the army and indeed the police that have been charged with guarding Ugandans have been playing politics instead.
I see a lot of generals, and in fact, to their credit, they have attended a lot of advanced courses around the world.
Thank you very much.
He probably, in fact, may have accomplished that.
Yeah, he may have accomplished that. But
and he probably also accomplished number two, which was securing a regional economic market, which is the East African Community.
Yeah, but Shaka, look
at
this.
What about choosing the successor? Is it possible that, in fact, he might have chosen Yoweri Kaguta Museveni?
Uganda is not a kingdom.
Succeed him?
Yeah, he might have cloned himself, you know. But Uganda is not a kingdom. Uganda is a republic. And our president is the same president that has been changing faces every now and then. Some of us were young. I was only 4 years when President Museveni came to power. But when I read the books, they say they're going to be in power for only 5 years. And the faces have been changing year in, year out, until the constitution barred him. And yes, the constitution was completely disrespected. I'm a member of parliament. I was in the parliament when the army invaded parliament and beat everybody, breaking some of them. Honorable Zake was treated here in America. Honorable Nambozi has never recovered, and she might never recover because she sustained a broken spinal cord.
I should inform you that Mr. Ambassador, to some degree, is right in the sense that the constitution has certain provisions that you could actually call upon to amend it, because it is a living document. But does the Constitution also have provisions that allow the President to bribe members of Parliament to change the Constitution or to amend it?
I'm glad you're the one to ask that question.
Yes. Now, Dr. Shadi, that issue you are bringing up of bribery,
he called it facilitation.
You have got to prove it. You have no proof.
I can help prove
now,
it. You are paid 29 million shillings,
wait.
Which I returned.
Just wait.
For information.
First of all, let me say this at this show. This is a dignified studio. VOA is very dignified. It's watched all of Africa. And I think it is not proper for the Honorable to come and insinuate and say, I'm stupid, I'm paid to be stupid. That cannot be. Secondly,
I think that you probably owe the ambassador an apology?
Well, if he misheard him, I would like to reassert the quotation. I said that I am quoting the Honorable Norbert Mao, who once said that if you are paid to be stupid, your intelligence ceases to matter.
What about perhaps being paid to be economic with the truth?
Well, I like the decency of your words, but I wouldn't want to change somebody's quote because I am quoting somebody who
anyway,
is leading.
I forgive the Honorable. I forgive the Honorable.
Thank you.
Now, on the issue of delving into the past, I think we are not coming from nothing. Uganda did not start when the Honorable here became a member of parliament. Uganda is old. We have got a constitution that was not made yesterday. And we have institutions that have been building over time. Now, all those things about the things the Honorable has referred to, the concerns about security situation relating to some individuals. We have rule of law. I think it's better to respect this.
What about others who, in fact, say it is rule by law?
No. We have courts. In fact, we do have courts.
The same that are being
granted you bail to be here in the United States for whatever reasons. We do have institutions. You see, Dr. Shaka, when matters do not favor those who are opposed to government, then they are illegal, they are wrong. When the things are favoring them, like, for example, when he came to parliament, it's okay.
What about the
government? But I have challenged him.
What about the government?
After a year, he should resign.
What about the government? In fact, somebody once said that probably the best description for your boss, the Ugandan president, is that he suffers from a disease of having a pathological fear of fair competition, that he actually likes to compete against people whose hands are tied behind their backs and their legs are tied together.
Let me tell you the truth. I was denied the opportunity to elect in my life until recently. And since then, I make sure that I vote. President Museveni, let facts be told. He has support. What you see here are these the political leaders who do not believe in him fomenting disturbances in the towns. And it's true. Even Kampala, the president got something like 40%. The opposition took more. And that, let's say they took 60%. That's formidable. You can mobilize, the Honorable here can mobilize that, let's say, 30%, 50% of those voted. He can mobilize those to cause commotion.
But what about information suggesting that the results that have actually ended up re-electing President Yoweri Museveni are essentially a reflection not of the will of the people, but the individual who announces the results.
No.
And those people who actually count the vote.
Then that becomes another matter of discussion as to the whether our elections are genuine or not. We can have another 1 hour sometime. You can invite us.
Really?
But I will tell you, he has been, for example, recently, there are some constituencies the opposition has won. They went to Kanungu, they won.
Parliamentary,
Yeah, but
maybe the presidency.
It's all about democracy. Then they won. Why they? If it was about cheating, you not have won those constituencies in Bujiri, in Arua. But the democracy works.
It works.
Now, on your issue, really, that's about President Museveni. There is that fear that if you cannot win him on the ballot, what do you do? Cause instability so that people think there is a crisis in the country.
Who controls the institutions of violence?
Maybe you should ask me about management of demonstrations in Uganda,
mm-hmm.
which I thought the viewers may like to know.
Which was introduced to tie people, to tie the opposition's hands behind their backs.
The candle, yeah?
Okay, I am here to tell you that law, go and read it, relating to management of public associations,
mm-hmm.
and demonstrations, is more or less a replica of the American law here.
Which is?
Here, and the import is that if you are to have a demonstration, you must seek permission.
Mm.
And they give you, here in the United States, they give you a license. And to do so, you have to go to police, tell them, how are you going to demonstrate?
I think what there you are right.
What are the placards?
There you are right. Even the architect, in fact, of that bill actually was my friend.
Yes.
Former Ugandan Prime Minister Amama Mbabazi.
Uh-huh.
And he says it was not meant to be, for example, implemented or interpreted the way it actually works.
But let's go to common sense, which is about that law, that you are going to demonstrate. What we have been witnessing by some of our political leaders, because of the ultra motive, they want to pass through commercial districts. The Honorable here was in Sauriako, and he knew what it meant. Was in Sauriako running battles with police. And people get their things looted, get their things destroyed, and government is saying, look, let's talk with you. You tell us how are you going to do your processions? And it is managed properly.
Mr. Ambassador, there is a saying.
Causing commotion.
There is a saying that the greatest friend of the truth is time.
Mm.
Her greatest enemy is ignorance and all prejudice,
mm.
while her constant companion is humility. Bobby Wine.
Yes, please.
What makes you tick? What do you stand for? We're talking about President Museveni and Uganda. What about you? What is your vision for Uganda, really?
Well, unfortunately, I've not gotten opportunity to respond to what the ambassador is saying, but in the interest of time, I'll go straight to your question. I'm here, first and foremost, not to speak only for the opposition, but for the people of Uganda. For your information, Mr. Ambassador, I'm not representing any particular party. I'm representing the people of Uganda, especially my generation. The generation you clearly do not understand. The generation you are clearly very disconnected with. The same people that suffer from the outcomes of your pathetic decisions that you make. You said we are opposition who are there to cause chaos. I'll remind you that for all chaotic incidences that have happened, they only happen when the president comes. We were in Bujiri peacefully campaigning until the president showed up, and that's when they started beating people and arresting everybody. We were campaigning peacefully in Arua until President Museveni showed up. And indeed, we did not meet him. Many of us were attacked in our own hotels. So you realize that he only shows up, and that's when trouble begins. You talked about public order management. But I will remind you that in Uganda, a murder case can happen and it will take hours before the police shows up. Firefighters take hours before they show up. But if there is a gathering that is meant to for people, even if it's young people, to discuss the future of their country, the police and the military is going to show up in 2 minutes. It's evident. Yesterday in Kamocha, young people were discussing the future of their country, and the military, police, and police showed up and started beating them. That is the Uganda that we are living in. Unfortunately, I will not quote Norbert Mao for him again. He doesn't seem to like the quotations, but those are my words. Those are not my words.
There really any space in which you can operate? Because I was talking to a very senior government official.
Yeah.
And I was asking him about how come you only have one president since 1986?
That's the same question.
And you know what he said? No. He said, Shaka, to be very honest with you off the record, in Uganda, you cannot attempt to develop an appetite for the highest office in the land.
We are taught that it's dangerous. It's 80% of Ugandans that have never seen another president.
Is it because
I personally was only 4 years when he came to power.
Is it because his supporters argue that he is a uniquely gifted individual to the extent, in fact, that he may probably be a political god's gift for Uganda?
Well, that's what the own hangers of every dictator say until he falls. Mobutu had such people. Mugabe had such people. Idi Amin, Gaddafi, they all had intelligent professors and
Bokassa,
and all the. They had intelligent
Saddam
people
Hussein.
Spread in the beautiful
Marcos.
Cities. Thank you very much. They all were praising him until the last day. So it does not surprise me to see a very educated, a very knowledgeable ambassador here promoting what is wrong. Anyway, to come back to your question about what I stand for freedom. If some of us, especially, I'm sorry, but I speak so much for my generation. If we were born in a country that has no constitution, it would be okay. But we read in the first article of our constitution and says power belongs to the people.
Some people are calling you a Muhoozi foreign project.
I don't work for anybody. I work for Uganda. I was born in the ghetto. I was raised in the ghetto. And God helped me through the support of my people that I'm sitting in the studios of Voice of America today. So it is that voice that I will raise without fear or favor, no matter who it hurts.
Would that mean perhaps that the Muhoozi project is legitimate as far as Uganda is concerned?
Our aspirations are far bigger than Muhoozi. Our aspirations are far bigger than the lucky few. We are the unlucky few. The girls that I grew up with die every day giving birth. The boys that I grew up with are incarcerated in jails, spending 4 or 5 years without seeing a judge. They go a day without a decent meal. These are the people that are unemployed. Those are the people that I represent.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally.
But
on that note, we thank our distinguished guests, Robert Sentamu Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine, and Ambassador Maro Sebuja Katende, Plenipotential Extraordinary. Thanks to our field stations, along with our viewers and listeners, for many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Pate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Uganda. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.